intersection of good drinks, good music, and good times. This is Hops and Spirits Bar Conversations.
I am excited for this episode. It's a guy I've been hoping to have on the podcast for a good little while. I've been enjoying his music for as long as I can remember. But before I introduce him, don't forget to follow us on all of our social media at HopSpirits, all one word. Go to HopSpirits.com to get some more as well. And if you're on Facebook, join our group, Country Music and Bourbon, where you can follow along and see what I'm drinking and what else I might have in store for you. But today, our artist, or the guy joining us, he's a country artist, songwriter. His latest album, or at least one of the things that he's working on, Take Me Home, the covers is out now. Let's welcome in Dalton Dover.
What's going on, brother? Thank you for having me, man.
Absolutely. It's a pleasure. Now, yes, as I kind of teased with my little baby Glen Cairn here, my hand's not that big. I just got a small glass. I got a little bourbon. I got a little Hard Truth out of Indiana, some Harvest Rye.
Oh, let's figure, go. That.
So, what you got tonight?
Dude, I'm daggum drinking. Right now, this is about all I got, but I made sure I got somebody to bring me some after these are gone. So, I'm prepared.
I like it. Now, are you a beer guy by day or by, you know, normal go-to?
Man,
or
look,
what's your
dude,
favorite drink?
I don't really just, after about 10 shots of Fireball, I'll pretty much drink about anything. But, you know, I'm a Michelob guy, Twisted Tea type of dude, you know?
All right, I like it. Now, do you ever go into, like, the craft beers? I know down in Georgia you guys got some good craft beer down there. You ever go that route?
So probably about 3 years ago, there was a winery, not a winery, there was a place that opened up in Rome, Georgia, and it was called, it was called Rome City Brewing Co. And they had a tap beer, and it was called a Short Hop Blonde. And it was probably my favorite one ever. So I definitely love some craft beer, man.
I like it. I like it. Yeah, I've also, to the side of me, I've got a little garage beer, you know.
Hey, ain't nothing wrong with that.
To be the chase. tonight. Now, I'm going to start off with a really hard question. Did you really win this is going to make me feel a little bit old. Did you really win a fifth grade talent competition with Justin Bieber's baby?
So, let me tell you something, bro. Somehow or another, I don't know how, but this talent show has stuck with me for so long. And I don't know how, but it has. So, yes, when I was in fifth grade, I don't even know how many years ago that was, I did win a talent show singing Justin Bieber. Man, and the thing is like, at that time, Justin Bieber was like, if you're singing Justin Bieber, like, you got it, you know? So I sang that song. I won the talent show. And ever since then, like, literally every interview, every time I'm in a situation. Like, I get asked this question.
Well, it's a good one. It's just kind of funny that that's kind of where everything started. Now, I do also have to ask, though, I'm guessing, like a lot of folks, you got your start in music, kind of found music in the church, right?
My grandpa had me singing in church when I was just a kid. My son is 7 years old, man. So my grandpa had me singing in church when I was just a little kid. I was singing songs like Sweet Beulah Land, Amazing Grace, and just all those. So.
And was it your grandpa that introduced you to country music as well?
So my grandpa worked in the woods. My grandpa's been a logger since I was just a kid. And one day I was riding in the truck with my grandpa. We was on the way to the mill. And my grandpa played a song called Don't Close Your Eyes by Keith Whitley. And when he played that song, man, I was like, holy crap. Whatever Keith is doing right there, that's what I want to do, you know? So.
Well, I was going to say, you're doing it, right? I was going to say that song, Don't Close Your Eyes, I mean, it's got to be important to you. I know it probably takes you back to your grandpa in the truck all the time.
Oh,
you
does.
Used it on The Voice. Yeah, I think it's. You played it a lot of times. What is it about that song that you're just like, you know, you just can't stop enjoying it?
I think at first it was Keith Whitley's. It was the, you know, it was the, like, I don't know, man. It was the way he sang the song, the feeling he put behind it, but also the story that Keith Whitley told, man. And, you know, as time went on, I started listening to more Keith Whitley songs like Kentucky Bluebird, I'm Over You. And man, he just had that conviction in his voice that was just kind of holy crap, you know? Like, this dude really sang these songs like he lived them.
Now, I know you grew up on Keith Whitley. Who else was kind of your influences, whether, you know, it's other artists or things like that? Who did you kind of grow up on and kind of gravitate toward?
People like Merle Haggard, Conway Twitty, Vince Gill. Just so many people that I was listening to growing up. There was one Merle Haggard song called Working Man Blues. And a lot of people know it, but there's a lot of people that don't know it. And man, I listened to that song and played it. That's one of the first songs I learned how to play on guitar.
And now, what made you pick up the guitar and start playing it?
Well, there were so many people that was around me, man, everybody was guitar pickers. And I was pretty much just the singer, you know? So I didn't want to just be the singer. I wanted to be the guitar player, too.
Hey, nothing wrong with that. And
ain't nothing wrong with that.
Well, and I'm guessing that's kind of led you to other things, but you know, you talk about growing up in Rome, small town Georgia. What impact did that have on you?
Man, there was so much stuff to sing about, man, and like I would go to concerts and stuff before I ever signed a record deal, before anything, before TikTok, before anything, and I was just like, man, I want to be up there. I want to be headlining this bar right now. I want to be doing this. And man, there was just so much inspiration around me, man, and I just wanted to do it.
Well, you did grow up in an actual small town. Not someone saying they grew up in a small town, but Rome's like, what, 1,200 people, something like that?
Man, so I live in a small town outside of Rome. And At first, I started telling people that I lived in Rome, man, but like where I'm from is called Ergon, Georgia. We have $1 General. We don't have a red light. No stop sign on the way through. Like, it's so small town, man, and that's where I'm from. And like, it's such a small town. You walk into Walmart here, man, that you're gonna know every single person in the aisle. Like, you're gonna literally feel like you're at a high school reunion or something.
Now, the better question is that a good thing or a bad thing?
Sometimes it's a good thing, unless I'm in my pajama pants and you know just woke up out of the bed and got to run to the store to get some eggs or something.
You would never do that, right? I mean,
of course
always.
I would.
Now, I got to ask you before I get to this next question. I saw, for those that are watching, you put a little hot sauce in the beer? Is that a little,
man,
liven it up?
I got some beer salt, some lime beer salt.
Oh, beer salt. Okay, I like it.
So it's the best in a Michelob, man. You know?
I like it.
And, dude, this is
stepping
about
up the
I
game,
drink, man. Like, if I don't have a Twisted Tea around, I'm drinking a Michelob.
Now, you know, being a Georgia guy, I'm guessing you enjoy just regular sweet tea as well, you know.
Oh, most definitely, man. My mom makes the best sweet tea.
I like it. Now, did I also read somewhere that your grandma makes some pretty good cornbread and beans?
Oh, my God, dude, for sure. Most definitely. My grandma makes the best. So when I was growing up, man, that's just about all we ate, bro. My grandma, we stayed, if all the grandkids were at my mama and papa's house, that was probably now that I'm grown, I'm probably thinking that's probably the easiest thing that she could cook, right? And dude, she whipped it up though, man. You know?
Now, are you a cook? Do you have any talents that way? Or?
Dude, I can cook some killer ramen noodles. No, I wouldn't say that I'm a cook or anything. I mean, I've been told that I can cook a good steak, but it's not like I've only cooked for like 3 people, and I'm pretty sure they only told me that just because they didn't want to hurt my feelings, maybe. But who knows?
Now, I will say this. As I've got a 5-year-old daughter. Kids can be brutally honest. What do they think about your cooking? Do they ever give you props, or do they kind of go, that again?
Yeah, I think our podcast broke up here a couple minutes ago. My son was calling me, and when my son called me, he said, Daddy, what are you doing? I said, nothing. He said, and he wanted me to come. He loves the way I cook. Like, they, for some reason, I don't know why, but my kids are addicted to like the noodles. Any kind of noodle, they love noodles. And my son said, Daddy, can you come cook me some noodles? And I was like, son, I'm on a podcast right now. I'll call you back in a little while. You know? He's so funny. But yeah, dude, they're so funny, man. I'm pretty sure my daughter can cook better than I can.
Yeah, well, my daughter's at least got a head start. You would think this is a joke, but it's honest to God truth that When I first met my wife, I had a recipe for scrambled eggs. That's how bad I was. I've come a long way, but yeah, it wasn't very good when I started, so. Talking about family, how important is family to you?
Man, my family, brother. People, when I start talking about it, people don't even begin to realize how many, I feel like at times there was a time where I feel like, I guess at the end of all of our lives, where I feel like people shouldn't care as much as they do, or you feel unworthy of people's love, And man, the people in my life, from my girlfriend to my mom to my grandpa to all my family, my aunts, my uncles, they've all supported me in ways that I can't even imagine, And that to me, I've always been a family dude, man. But as I get older, man, I'm really realizing how important it is, and just, I'm learning not to take those times for granted, because you never know.
Well, I was gonna say, as someone with kids, my goodness, does time fly? We just took my daughter to like elementary school night so she can get ready for kindergarten next year, and I'm like,
Wow.
wait, what?
Where did that time go, It's like time just
Absolutely.
flies by, and like you just lose, I don't know, man, you just lose so much time. And but I feel like as humans, though, we tend to, like, we're easy to take things for granted, but I think if you sit down and you really realize it, man, we've all got so much to live for and so much to be thankful for, because one day all this stuff is going to be gone, and we're going to be here just like, holy crap, what a time is, So just try to live every moment and love everybody. Everybody that loves me, I love them, man.
That's the best way to go, and
Yes,
I'm
sir.
probably gonna get a little personal here for you, but I know someone that was very important to you that you lost was your brother-in-law, and I think he was you said one of your best friends, and kind of you even played Don't Close Your Eyes with him.
Yeah,
Can you
man.
talk about his impact and everything on your life?
Yeah, man. So I got to say, when me and I was married for 5 or 6 years. We got a divorce probably about 2 years ago, whatever. And just through that whole thing, man, he was kind of a big part of that, He was my best friend, and then we become like family, And when I lost him, dude, it's kind of like he was the person that really pushed me and inspired me and made me Dalton Dover and who I am today. And I don't ever claim to be anything, man, but I always just kind of looked up to him, and I've always just kind of, listened to what he said, and I watched how he played guitar, and I watched how he sang. And we was the same age, but you never know at like 14, 15 years old how somebody can really inspire you. And looking back now, man, that dude has such an inspiration on my life. And I was just at his grave. I'm at home right now. I'm in Georgia right now, and I went by his grave earlier, man. I just sat there and, holy crap, this don't even seem real, Like, sometimes you're just kind of, holy crap, dude. Like, if you could see me now, you'd be so proud, It's wild.
Well, I was gonna say, what would be going through his mind where you were, going on The Voice and doing all that?
Dude, I don't know, man. I think not even the voice, man. I feel like he would be like, holy crap, I told him I've already played the Opry 3 times, Like, he'd probably flip out if he heard that.
Gonna say, speaking of the Opry, you made your debut back in December of 2022. You've now played it a couple times. What was it like to be on that stage in that circle and experience all that?
Oh man, dude, it's been nuts, because growing up here, man, like if you just only knew growing up here, that type of stuff just don't happen, And when I got the call, Blake called me, my whole family, I had my whole family come into Nashville because I was playing at Ole Red. I had all the label people there. Man, it was a big shindig, man. We all hung out, and we all got drunk, whatever it was. And all of a sudden, Blake calls into the Ole Red phone, and there he is on the screen. My grandpa's there, my grandma, my mom. The only people that wasn't there was my kids, and they was stayed with their friends that night. And man, it was such an incredible moment. I stepped on this Opry stage for the first time. Honestly, up to that moment, I was so nervous, like I still am every time I even walk into that building. And man, it's unreal, because you watch all your favorite, or you watch all the biggest country stars that are in country music step on that stage and sing their songs and tell their truth. And to have the opportunity to do that, man, is incredible. It's crazy. Even now, just talk, I'm not even there right now.
Well, I was going to say, it takes you back. And well, I was going to ask about that because I know when you got the call, because it's always how you kind of find out is always a pretty cool experience too. Sometimes it could be very nonchalant. Sometimes yeah. It could be Blake calling in. And you had done a couple of different stops at his old Reds across the way leading up to Nashville.
Yeah.
Were you like, did you have an idea that you're going to get a call? Or were you like, what's going on?
It's kind of weird for me because I know Blake. And I know that, like, if he calls me, he's not just going to call. Like, you know, like, I don't know. It's weird now that I'm kind of, like, looking back on it. But at that time, I knew that Blake Shelton was just not going to call my phone, you know? So it's kind of weird. I just knew he was not just going to call my phone. So when he called through the old Red phone, I was like, holy crap. Like, I looked at my grandpa like, holy shit, dude, Blake Shelton's on the screen right now. You know? It was crazy.
Oh, and then you found out. And, you know, talking about Blake, you like I said, you were on The Voice. What pushed you to go on The Voice and kind of do something like that?
I had some friends that was just kind of like, hey, man, The Voice, this is probably 2017. Late 2017 or whatnot. And I had some friends that told me, they was like, hey, man, The Voice is coming to Atlanta, dude. You should definitely go do that. You should get on there. I think you would win it. Well, I did not win it. I did not make it far at all on the show, which is so weird because, I mean, every time everybody talks about it. But, like, I guess that was kind of what shows you what kind of impact it can be if you're on something like that, you know. But I didn't make it far, but I did go. I got on Team Blake, and it was so cool, man. I was so nervous. I was young. I never even thought that I would step on the stage like that. So.
Well, and I was going to say, I think I read where you talked about that the experience where you found basically the artist you wanted to be through that, which is a big thing. I know talking to a lot of folks that once they find that, however that is, things kind of become a lot clearer.
Well, you know, like being around, like, being in a small town where there's not many people that sing. If they do sing, they're going to be around here for a while, you know, like, so when you're right there, you're just kind of like, okay, you're used to people always telling you how great you are. But when you get to a spot like that, man, like, you're in a room with 40 other singers just as good as you, if not way better, and you're a holy crap, like, it's kind of a reality check, you know? So going out there, obviously, was about winning the show. I really, really wanted to win that show, and I really wanted to. And I feel like if I went back and now and I'd done that, then it would be a lot better situation. Just because I was so young, you know? But, man, I learned to go up there, and I learned, first off, I learned that I'm not the best because I'd never done nothing like that. I wasn't not the best. And I also learned, man, you just learn who you are and do your thing, and that's what fans love, and that's what the people loves, and the people that's judging the show, you know? So, and that's what I learned, man. I found myself, and when I got back home, I wanted to write songs. I knew what I wanted to write about, and I knew what I wanted to sound like, and I knew what – I just knew. So.
Well, I was going to say, that's a big thing to find, especially, you know, kind of early on in the journey. And, you know, as we talk about, you know, playing the Opry, going on The Voice, doing all that, when you start to think back at all this, you've also now played stadiums. You've toured across the country, gone across the Atlantic and played kind of across the world. Did you ever expect all that when all this kind of started?
Absolutely not, dude. If you would have told 16-year-old Dalton Dover that he would be where he's at right now, then he would think you're lying. But you know what, man? Like, I even at times, bro, like, I'm like, holy crap, man. I think back on me sitting on my mom's kitchen table. My mom had listen, dude. I never told anybody this. My mom had a laptop. Actually, it was a desktop, and it was a Dell desktop. And this is before, like, Facebook was huge. This is when MySpace was still a thing. I would go on YouTube and I would type in like karaoke instrumentals and I would sing to them. And at that time, my mom would be like, Dalton, hush, we're all trying to sleep, you know? But, but man, it was so cool, dude. It's so cool to be here now. And if that dude then would have found out where he's going to be at in 10, 11 years, he probably would have laughed at you.
Said you're dreaming too big and But it's amazing what happens. And as you've gotten to go across and go to different places, what's it like to kind of travel and see? And is there any place that's kind of stood out to you that you're like, man, I got to go back, or I didn't expect it to be like that?
Oh yeah, dude, I love seeing the world, man. And at times, like I was on radio tour early last year, and I kind of found out how homesick I could really get. But that was kind of all worth it, you know. But I love seeing the world. I love traveling. Matter of fact, I've flown so many times now, and every time I fly, I'm still taking pictures in the airplane like it's my first time, you know. So it's pretty cool.
Hey, I like that. And as I teased you before, we hit the record button, I got to talk to James from the James Barker Band back in last year, and I asked him this question, so now I've got to ask you. You performed at the Canadian Country Music Association show with him. Did you know the Sharks were coming out when you performed?
So they said they before we got on stage that night, keep in mind, man, this is my first time ever playing any type of award show. And it's my first time I find out that I'm introducing Sam Hunt to the stage. Me and Sam Hunt are from the same exact place here in Georgia. Like we're from the same county. Me and Sam are good friends now, but at that time I did not know Sam, and I knew me and him both knew we was from the same place, but we had just not kind of got acquainted yet, right? So I'm nervous about that. So I go up on this stage, and I love James Barker, and I love his band. I love all them guys. They're all so great. And I was so nervous, man. At the end of the show, honestly, the Sharks kind of made me a little comfortable being up there, because I was like, okay, I'm not the only one looking like a fool here, right?
Well, and then too, wasn't that the first time you had performed that song with them
First time
live?
ever, yeah.
So, I mean, that's got to be extra pressure up in their homeland of Canada. I mean,
Like, it's so weird because, like, okay, like going through my mind, like, okay, Dalton, you know you're gonna sound like you can sing, so like you know that it's not gonna sound terrible, right? But then you start worrying about, okay, how am I dressed? Do I look fine? Like, are my boots, like, do I need to like shine my boots? What I gotta do to make this look great, you know? But man, James Barker, man, all them guys are great. And it was so much fun. I cannot wait to see them just explode. Like it's gonna be so, it's so cool to have something done like that. And I've never done anything like on the water before. When my manager Charlie, he sent me that song, man, and he's like, you absolutely gotta love it to be able to do it. And I was like, all right, cool. I listened to a version of chorus, and I was like, dude, I love it. And that's all she wrote.
I was gonna say, what was it like, kind of putting that song together, and was it as simple, and how did it kind of come together? Because it's always neat to see how these collaborations do happen. Because I know James was like, Dalton's voice is just awesome, and it would be perfect on that song, and it came together. But it's
Yeah.
always neat to hear the other side too.
Man, they sent me a song. They sent me the song. They sent me On the Water. And it took me probably 3 days or so. I think I was at the time I was on radio tour, and I couldn't really slow down much. So I listened to the song when I got some downtime. I think I was flying on the plane back to Georgia. I listened to the song. Like I said, man, I listened to a version of chorus. Holy crap. This dude's voice is cool. It's something that I've never done before. And at the time, the summer was almost coming. I knew that they was putting it out at summer, so I was like, okay, this could be really fun. And keep in mind, I never met them. We was in trying to think where we was at. I think we was in California, and it was for something that they had going on out there. And we was at a winery or something. We met in between interviews, and I met the guys, and they that week prior to that, they had sent a song that I just haven't got to listen to yet. So when I listened to it, man, I was like, holy crap, let's go, you know. And literally the next week I was in a studio with my producer recording my vocals on the song, and that's how it went.
Well, it's an awesome song, and it's one of my favorite. And I also enjoyed, like I said at the top of the show, you'd put out "Take Me Home" the covers. I was a little nervous because I'm a West Virginia kid at heart. That's where I grew up. "Take Me Home, Country Road." That's a pretty special song, but I feel like you did it justice. So, what did those songs that you put out on that mean to you, and why did you kind of do those covers?
Well, man, like all those covers that I did, I put together just a couple songs like Go Rest High, Mountain Music, and Take Me Home. Songs that remind me of where I'm from and where I come from, because, you know, it's not talked about much, and I just wanted to do that. When it comes to Take Me on Country Roads, that's a song, man, that no matter if one day if you ever come to Georgia, just holler at me and I'll show you everywhere that I'll show you every place that I walked when I was a kid. But my grandparents live on a road here in Ergen. It's called Collard Valley Road. And every time you cross the road from the railroad tracks, it takes me back to being a kid. It takes me back to going to spend the night at my mama and papa's house whenever I was just a child, man. And on it, I'm 26 years old now, so that means something to me to be able to, man, like, I used to be a kid. I used to go over these railroad tracks and could not wait to go sleep on my mama's floor because she only has a one-bedroom house. You know, like, I couldn't wait. And that just takes me home, man. And that's why I recorded that song, because that's one song that every time I listen to it, man, it just takes me back to that one time, the one time that I had, you know. And Mountain Music, that's just a fun song, man. And every time we'd be sitting around a fire with some friends or something, and I would play that song on my guitar, we'll play it over the speaker, and everybody would love it, you know. And Go Rest High on That Mountain. So just a quick story. Last year, we played CRS for the first time there in Nashville. And when we played CRS, it was new to me. I was everywhere. And I learned just how much everybody in the industry could drink. And I was like, all right, cool. Like, I had to match a couple people. I was tearing all night long. Well, we ended up at the Ryman one day, and we was playing UMG's lunch that they had for all the radio staff. And side stage, Vince Gill was sitting side stage the whole entire time that he was standing there. He sat there our whole entire set. I think we played two songs. And I'm standing on stage, I'm thinking giving up on that, and I'm just looking over like, holy crap, Vince Gill is right there, you know. And we played our set. After the set was done, I had a friend that introduced me to Vince, and I didn't say nothing to him then, whatever. Went on with my business through the day, and I mean, I'm introducing myself to everybody that was in the building, and Vince is still standing over there, just hanging out by himself, not talking to anybody. So I told my buddy, I said, man, should I go talk to Vince? He's like, go talk to him. It's Vince Gill, right? It's Vince Gill. I'm nervous as all get out. I've never been that nervous before in my life. I walk up to Vince. I shake his hand. I say, hey, man, I'm Dalton. I know we already met. He's like, he's looking at me like, okay, I've already met you. What's up? And we get to talking and stuff, and I bring up that So I recorded Go Rest High on That Mountain maybe 5 or 6 months before I got to ever meet him. I didn't even know that I was going to meet him. And, man, I was just like, man, I recorded Go Rest High on That Mountain. I would love to sing it with you. And he's like, dude, take my number. Call me. Let's do it. He was so kind about it. And I was like, shit. I got my phone. I'm just on it, dude. I'm putting this number. Before I leave the parking lot, I've already sent him a text and said, hey, it's Dalton.
Dalton, don't forget me.
Yeah, like, hey, it's Dalton, right? And that's how that happened. And man, like, that's, to me personally, that's probably been one of my most biggest things in my book, was being able to do a song with Vince, because he's such a legend. And man, like, when you say Vince Gill, you automatically think icon. And man, mm-hmm. that's how it felt, honestly. Like, I was, for real, that was a pinch me moment. And to this day, if I call Vince Gill on the phone, I'm pinching my arm while I'm on the phone with him, because I'm like, holy crap, this can't be real.
Well, but it goes to show you that there are those good people, and there's a lot of good people in Nashville that even those icons are willing to give back and you know, let you, you know, take some knowledge from them, and that's got to be cool too.
Oh man, that's so cool, dude. So amazing.
And now, you know, I know you put out the Take Me Home, the covers, but back in September, you released your EP, Never Giving Up on That. What was it like to bring those songs to life and put that project out?
So those songs, that whole project was songs that I feel like shaped my career and shaped me into who I am today, and the artist that I am today, honestly. Like, I put songs together that created my career, And I feel like it was really cool for me because listening back, like, you know, you put a song out 2 years ago. I've not listened to a song that I put out 2 years ago in a long time. And I'm sure that if I listened to them, I would remember the time that I did put them out and how I felt about the song, right? So, like, songs like You Got a Small Town and Baby I Am and all those songs, I was like, dang. I remember hearing Baby I Am for the first time, man. I'm thinking, like, holy crap, like, the people that are following me at the moment, in my, at that time and that moment in my career, in my life, they would love this song, you know? And I put it out, and it done what it did. You Got a Small Town, Hear About a Girl, Damn Good Life, all those songs. So.
Well, I mean, what was it like, too? Because I always love to ask this question. When, you know, obviously it's one thing to be putting out songs, going and doing shows, but when you start doing shows and people are singing your songs back to you,
yeah,
what was that? I'm guessing that was another pinch me moment.
Oh, man, still to this day, dude. We go out there and we sing songs. And the thing is now with YouTube and TikTok and whatever else these people are on, they're seeing all these videos and they're learning the song just from a video. So when they're coming to a show, I've got this song that I haven't even put out yet, and it's called You Need a Rock. It's called You Need a Rock, But I'm a Rolling Stone. And I started performing this song early last year, man. And every show, you see, it's a song, I didn't open it up with it last year, but you see people vibing, you see people getting down, whatever. Well, now, there's been so many videos that go around of the song. They don't know the verses, but you can see them saying, You Need a Rock, I'm a Rolling. And you'll see people in the crowd saying, Holy crap, this is crazy. But with Baby I Am and all them other songs, man, it's incredible. I love it so much. It reminds you why you really, really love this.
Absolutely. And, you know, I know you got to do the video for Giving Up on That. I believe it was filmed in your hometown. What was that like? Because I'm guessing that had to be even a cooler experience, being able to put that together.
Oh, it's so cool, man. All my family was involved. I got to go back to my old job working with my grandpa in the woods, man. And that was really, really, really neat for the world to see. And I think it was really cool for me to go back there and just kind of get a taste of what it was, man. I'd been on the road for, I don't know, a year. And I was like, man, I ran the chainsaw for 30 minutes. I was like, shoot, dude, like I used to do this, you know? It's pretty wild. It's really cool.
Well, and you know, you touched on this earlier about how, you know, once you came back from The Voice, you started writing songs, doing things like that. What's it like for you to write these days? Kind of what's that process like and bringing a song to life? How does that work for you?
Man, honestly, it's just writing an idea down on my phone, living with it for a little while. And like, I got titles in my phone right now, and I've not written a song in maybe a month because I've been on the road so long. But the songs that I can't wait to get back in a writing room and say, okay, guys, I got this title. I got this idea. I got this, you know, and just go from there. And then we pitch around ideas and just see what lands and what don't, you know, because writing a song, I feel like it used to be writing a song to, you know, fit what somebody else needs. But now I'm learning to write for what I need. And now when I write songs, I'm writing about my life experiences and I'm writing the stuff that I do to have fun. And stuff like that, you know, whether it be sitting, going to a bar with my friends, drinking a cold beer and doing something stupid, you know, whatever it may be, that's what we're writing about. So that's pretty much it.
Well, I was going to say, are you going back and forth between, I know you've been doing shows and stuff, but I know you're still living in Georgia, but obviously Nashville's kind of where a lot of things happen. Are you just still traveling back and forth?
Yeah, man, I've been commuting back and forth for 2 years now. And it's not bad because from Rome, Georgia to Nashville is about 3 hours or so. So it's not bad. I get there a little early, get me some breakfast, maybe check into my Airbnb or wherever we may be. And that's pretty much it.
I was going to say, that's not a bad drive. You get to come home and see family when it's all said and done. And,
yeah, man.
And this is also one of my favorite things to ask someone is, and I feel like it's a loaded question to some because they never know how to answer. What's your favorite song to perform live these days, whether it's yours or someone else's?
Man, I do this cover of Chris Stapleton's What Are You Listening To? And this song, I feel like, was at the beginning of Stapleton's career. And The amount of people that scream that song at one of my shows is crazy, dude. Because I love Stapleton, but that song is a song that I wish that I would have wrote. Like, I wish that I either wrote that song or was a writer on that song. And it's one of my favorite strippers.
Well, it's always cool to see what songs that, you know, people, especially if it's not theirs, that they just love. And out of your songs, is there one that you just love a little bit more to perform maybe than others? Not that you're supposed to have favorites, yeah. But, you know, every now and then you
not,
do.
Not to Go is probably my favorite to perform. It's just so much fun and just so much energy in there. That's one of my favorites.
Now, obviously, you know, you've put out kind of the cover album. You worked on the EP, you know, Never Giving Up on that last year. More new music coming in 2024?
Oh, man. We got a new single coming that I'm really, really excited about. It's called Bury Me in This Bar. And listen, if you grew up listening to 90s country music, Joe Diffie propped me up beside the jukebox, right? Propped me up beside the jukebox. This song is part two of Propped Me Up Beside the Jukebox. I'm really, really excited about it. It's my next single to radio that I'm really pumped about. And man, I just got a feeling that everybody's going to love this song. It's so much fun. It kind of puts you in mind of that fun Beer Never Broke My Heart vibe, and I'm really excited about it.
Well, I can't wait. That sounds like something right up my alley. And
yes, sir.
Obviously, you know, you got music. You're doing some shows, obviously. What else can folks expect from you the rest of the year in 2024?
New music, a badass live show. If you come to one of our shows, I promise you're going to have a great time. No matter who we're with, if it's our headline show, if we're opening for somebody, you're going to have a great time no matter what. And, man, I'm excited for all of it, dude. Everything, every opportunity God's put in my hands, I'm so pumped about it.
Well, dude, it's been a fun ride. I've enjoyed your music for a good while. I really do mean that, hence why I reached out to see if we could get you on, and I'm happy we could share a drink, and I can't wait to see what's next, man, because it's been great so far.
Man, thank you so much for having me, brother.
Find more from Hops and Spirits at hopsspirits.com.
Thanks, everybody. Bye.